This is Money Beat from the Wall Street Journal. Now, from our studios in New York, here are Paul Vigna and Stephen Grosser.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Money Beat. I am Paul Vigna.
I'm Stephen Grosser.
And you know what we have for you today? Another thrilling, thrilling episode of Money Beat Book Club. That is right. We've got a packed studio here today. Today we are discussing a book called The Everything Store, Jeff Bezos and the Age of Amazon. We will discuss it among ourselves. And in the second segment, we will be bringing on the author, Brad Stone, to talk about the book. I am joined in the studio today by Spencer Jacobs. Spencer, say hello to everybody.
Hi, everybody.
Ben Eisen.
Hi, everyone.
Ben, who created
the book club is his idea.
The book club is his idea, so Ben has to be in for these.
It's my child, yes.
And Aaron Kurloff, who is in the studio today, but is often called in from vacation for book club because he loves it so.
On the slopes of upper New York, upstate New York.
I would like to request that we reschedule this for some time when I can go on vacation.
Okay, the next one. We'll be sure to do it. So, Ben, you own... You own book clubs. So why don't you start us off? The Everything Store.
Well, actually, this was Spencer's choice, so I would turn it over to him to give a little backdrop here.
Okay. All right. Well, fascinating story. The physical book on Amazon.com where you can buy everything or almost everything. And it is the story from the genesis, actually from the childhood of Jeff Bezos up to almost today, of the most dynamic talked about retailer on the planet, pretty much, certainly in the country, Amazon.com. It's an interesting story, warts and all. I did not know a lot about the early days of the business and about Jeff Bezos. And it's very instructive. I think it does a good job telling you about his personality, what drives him, how he thinks, how he got to this, and how the idea was hatched. It's very interesting.
I also think what makes this book, you know, very relevant is it's even more, I think, relevant. It came out in 2013, and it's even grown in more relevance, I think, today, especially this year. You know, we write about this a lot on Money, but you guys write a lot about it on The Herd. It's just the impact that Amazon is having across so many industries, you know, whether it's grocery stores, when it bought Whole Foods earlier, you saw pharmacy, the drug makers, get hit earlier, like CVS and Walgreens get hurt, hit earlier last week just because, you know, there was a story saying Amazon has got an approval to sell, drugs. I mean, there's constantly, like, Amazon's impact on this on so many industries has just grown and continues to grow.
And I think it's interesting that this book sort of leaves off, I guess, end of 2013, beginning of 2014, where Amazon has sort of transformed itself from this underdog upstart trying to take on all the big retailers to now it's sort of like the dominant company in its industry, and it's sort of become somewhat of a villain, sort of jumped to the other side. And I think it seems like that was sort of the beginning of what Amazon has become, and it's only really accelerated since then as stock price has gone up an extraordinary amount since then, and its market cap is huge, and it's now branching into more and more industries. It now owns Whole Foods, which was a company that I think was cited as one that Jeff Bezos was sort of a fan of. And one of these great, great managed companies is now he owns it.
And also, it's interesting, and Brad got into this, you know, Brad Stone, the author, got into this a little bit in the book. It's just, you saw, like, Amazon feels like at this moment very much like Walmart 20 years ago, when everyone was talking about how Walmart has impacted the mom and pop and Main Street of America. And today, that's Amazon.
Yeah, I'm actually looking forward to talking to Brad a little bit about this. I mean, it's funny to ask in a book called The Everything Store what he thinks might be underplayed, but given what we know since the book came out, I'm curious as to what Brad would have amped up in some of the coverage. We, in our bonds coverage, have a lot of discussion about Amazon's impact on inflation.
I think, one thing that's interesting about this is, I mean, you really do get a window into Jeff Bezos, who we know and think a lot about him as people who write about the markets and such. He's sort of a mysterious guy, I think. Some of his interesting personality traits really shine through here, so you have his volatile temper is something that seems to be something that people really seem to remember about him. People who quit decade ago still talk about being in meetings with him where he just dresses them down, and it's sort of interesting that's who's running this company.
I happen to be in a different book club. Sorry, guys, I'm cheating on you. You know, with a bunch of people who aren't journalists. I'm the only journalist in the club, and they're mostly like hedge fund managers and stuff like that. I got into it through a friend, and those guys are it's a very interesting bunch, and if you bring up Jeff Bezos in their company, he is one of the two or three people in the world they most admire, you know, as a kind of as a capitalist. And, you know, I used to roll my eyes a little bit because they brought him up so frequently. And they mentioned this book, but other things as well. I mean, it's like Jeff Bezos, Charlie Munger, Warren Buffett. Those are the sort of, it's the holy trinity for them. And I can see more what they mean. I mean, he is a brilliant guy. He's not maybe the most personable guy or the pleasant guy to work with. He's not warm and cuddly, but he isn't just a guy who was in the right place at the right time, had the right idea at the right time. I mean, this thing, he's very extremely determined and I would say even ruthless in the way that he developed this business.
It definitely seems to be sort of a cult that's built up around him. It's pretty well formed by the end of this book. Some conversation of Zappos, the online shoe brand, and I guess the two guys that started that called him Sensei. This was how they referred to him. He was well known to them well before he knew who they were. So it's definitely a cult. It's a Warren Buffett light, I guess, in some circles.
At the same time, comes off as a real brawler. Like, he's fighting five front battles, six front battles at all times. It's just sort of exhausting to read about. He's fighting the government and Walmart.
Is that crazy? Have you guys seen those two pictures of him that are him, you know, 20 years ago and him 2 months ago or something? And it became this sort of viral meme where 20 years ago he was a really skinny, nerdy-looking guy. And then there's this picture of him, and he's literally, his arms are jacked, and he's dark, and, you know, he looks like the Terminator, or looks like a Terminator or whatever. Like
Optimus Prime, right?
Optimus, yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you so much for agreeing with me. I didn't even think it was that much of an observation, really. I mean, geez, you guys could have all just said, oh, yeah, you're right about that.
That's true.
All right, good God. When we come back, more about the Everything Store with author Brad Stone. This is Money Beat from The Wall Street Journal.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. Robert Half is here to help. Our recruiting professionals utilize our proprietary AI to connect businesses with highly skilled talent. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
For a new podcast experience, subscribe to the Future of Everything podcast from The Wall Street Journal. Now on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, and Google Play Music. The Wall Street Journal. Listen ambitiously.
Welcome back to Money Beat's Book Club. We are in the studio with Spencer Jacob, Ben Eisen, Aaron Kurloff, Paul and Steve here, talking about The Everything Store, Jeff Bezos and the Age of Amazon. It is a book that was written by Brad Stone, and Brad Stone joins us to talk about it. Brad, how are you?
Hey, guys. Good. Thanks for having me on.
So I think one question we're all kind of interested in is, what has changed in the several years since you published this book? And if you were to do an update or another version of it, or, you know, Everything Store 2, you know, what would you include?
Yeah, you know, I've thought about that a lot. The 5th anniversary of the original publication of the book is coming up, and I was thinking about updating it. I mean, so much has changed. I just looked, the stock since publication day is up 252%. So if only I'd taken my book advance and just in Amazon stock, I would have been in good shape.
Right.
I did do a paperback update the following year, but I mean, so much has changed, right? Mm-hmm. And I try, when I write, you know, in my book writing about technology companies, I think about future-proofing it. You know, how can I leave in the sure. reader in the epilogue kind of prepared for what's coming? And, you know, I did, you know, I remember one kind of phrase I have at the end of the book where I say that the answer to every question with Amazon is yes. You know, will they get into groceries? Yes. Will they, you know, expand around the world? Yes, because they're a company of unlimited ambition. But, you know, I definitely could not have foreseen, boy, the boom in Amazon Web Services, the cloud business, just almost $5 billion in revenue last quarter, the boom in Alexa, and Amazon's establishing itself as like an AI company. They had a hard time with hardware, and they went and sort of lapped Apple and Google with the first Echo and established Alexa as the kind of dominant home, you know, assistant. And, you know, these are all things that, you kind of want the book back because it's such a great story. At the same time, you know, at the time, Amazon was embroiled in this battle with the book industry, which now in retrospect seems you know, very much drama from 5 years ago. So a lot has changed.
Brad, I want to go back to, and this is an anecdote you have early on the story, and you talk about how Bezos basically has all the, you know, they don't do PowerPoint presentations. You write a press release, essentially, to pitch a product. And when you met him to talk about doing this book, you wrote a press release for the book. And I was just wondering if you could talk about that meeting and what you put into that press release.
I was thinking about that recently because all the cities contending for Amazon's second headquarters, I kind of wish that somebody had called me and I would have said, put your proposal in the form of a press release. You'd be demonstrating how Amazon internally operates and thinks. And the idea with this custom inside the company, and by the way, all meetings start off by everyone sitting in silence and reading a six-page document. It's just how they conduct meetings. And when a new product is initiated, or a new program, in fact, probably the hunt for the second headquarters started out this way, it's done in the form of a press release. And it's Amazon, you know, Amazon is you know, likes to say it's very customer-oriented or customer-obsessed. And so this is a way of starting every project from the end and kind of working backwards. How will the world see this when it comes out? And then they work backwards from there. And so I knew that back in probably 2011. And I also knew that there, you know, Jeff Bezos and his crew were secretive and wasn't a big chance that they would open up and welcome me in. But nevertheless, I had a pretty good relationship with them. So at the time, I'd covered Amazon for the New York Times and then Bloomberg Business Week. And so, you know, I told them I was doing this and I got a meeting with Jeff. And yes, I came in and I presented the news of my book. It wasn't called The Everything Story. And I had another title, but I basically had the press release for the book. And I presented that to him at the start of our meeting and he gave his signature hearty laugh and then proceeded to sort of grill me about how it would go. So, you know, like the one thing I remember, I was quite nervous, as you could imagine, going to, you know, I already had the book contract and then I was myself working backwards with the company trying to get them to cooperate.
Well, one question is following up on that that anecdote from the beginning of the story. I mean, it seems like in the end they cooperated with you for the story. What did they think of the book in the end? Because, I mean, I guess I would sort of characterize it as it was an honest portrait, it seemed, of Bezos. It wasn't entirely flattering. It accentuated the highlights, but also the lowlights. So curious what the reaction was.
Yeah, definitely. Well, first to clarify, they kind of worked with me. You know, I never really sat down for long, penetrating interviews with Jeff himself. He speaks, you know, he's far too careful with his time and his public pronouncements for that. But he let me talk to executives and family members. And then the book came out, and it was not received all that well. If you want to, you can go to the Everything Stores page on Amazon and look through the reviews, and you see lots of Amazon executives with, you know, one and two and three star reviews.
Wow.
Including Andy Jassy, the president of AWS, and some other folks. Jeff's wife, very memorably and famously, and to my own horror at the time, gave me a one star review.
Wow.
So that probably speaks a little bit to what their attitude was. Now, maybe over time, you know, and part of it, what they didn't like was the depiction of a culture that, you know, was punishing to a lot of people. And then subsequently to the book coming out, you know, there was that article in the New York Times that painted a far bleaker picture, you know, and then, so I don't know. I mean, I don't know where it stands now. I feel like the book has stood the test of time. I've heard from a lot of employees who have read it. So I don't know. I mean, I've seen Jeff a couple of times, you know, since then. It's very amicable. So, hopefully that's all water under the bridge.
Actually, I just got a Kindle, and I guess I'm about a decade late here. And I read the book on the Kindle, and, you know, when I was looking this up to the book to buy it, there was a suggestion for another Amazon book right below it, and it just made me wonder. I mean,
I had the same thing when I bought the physical book. It doesn't really lead you to the book.
And then there's another, like, Amazon, like the story behind Amazon right next to it, so I wonder.
I wonder if they tweaked the algorithm.
Yeah, I never saw any evidence of that, but certainly they do have a lot of power. But you know what? They have these physical bookstores, I think almost more than a half a dozen now around the country, and the Everything Store is in those bookstores. And, you know, they curate their collection pretty carefully, so, you know, that says something.
Yeah.
You had covered Amazon for quite a while. What, like, in doing the book, did you find, you know, what was the revelation that sort of surprised you the most?
well, trying to think back. I mean, the reason I did the book was the intuition that, you know, there had been Apple books and Google books and Facebook books, and here Amazon was graduating into the upper echelon, and nobody had done it yet. Partly because people thought of them for a long time as a boring retailer, and partly because they were so secretive and up in Seattle, sort of remote from the bulk of the tech press. I always knew, watching carefully, what an interesting and idiosyncratic company it was. I guess I didn't really know much about, Jeff the person. I didn't know much about his sort of dramatic early family life, which is a lot of that is in the book. I certainly didn't know, how combative some of those meetings could get. Challenging some people reported Jeff to be, particularly when tough decisions had to be made, or particularly when he felt like people weren't operating at the level that he expected. So all of that, the kind of first peek at like what life was like at Amazon, surprised me. But tech successful tech companies are often led by kind of challenging, difficult leaders. And you have to admire it, because of all the first generation of internet companies, that started in 1994 and 1995, they are all gone now, with the exception of Amazon. And not only has Amazon survived, but it has thrived. And just recently, Jeff became the richest guy in the world. It's amazing. The other thing that I would just say that surprised me was his ability to completely reinvent himself. And you guys were talking about the picture of him, of him recently at the Aspen Summit, and how everybody was joking that he looked like an action star.
Right.
But that's just a physical embodiment of something that's pretty broadly true, which is, 20 years ago, he was kind of a geeky tech nerd fresh off Wall Street who was starting a company, and wasn't all that good of a manager. He wasn't all that savvy a technologist. And now he's all those things. In fact, he's probably the most brilliant entrepreneur of our age. So his ability to constantly reinvent himself is something that really has surprised me.
Well, can I ask something? I mean, I think one reason that people tend to read these books, I think this is a fascinating book for anyone to read. One thing that makes these books popular, books about successful people in business or politics or what have you, is that they're seen as a template. That's a flawed way of looking at things, because if you look at, say, 10 very popular books about people successful in politics and business, they're all different kinds of people. You wouldn't really act like Steve Jobs and expect to be one of the wealthiest men on earth. I mean, he's brilliant and whatever, and you can't necessarily be brilliant like him. But there was a bit of luck there. I mean, he kind of pushed things, right? Bezos almost, I mean, would you say that, he presents more of a template than some of these other very successful entrepreneurs today that we talk about, some of the wealthiest men, most powerful men on earth?
I think so. I mean, I always think of these books, they succeed when they offer a little bit of self-help. Right? People are reading them for a blueprint, or as you say, a template. And, Bezos, he thought so strategically about his career, about the business, how he, hired, the values that he propagated through Amazon, and then how he kind of lived those values every day. But yeah, I mean, I think there's just a ton to learn from him. The way in which, he was so far-sighted, the way in which he established a very favorable relationship with Wall Street back when Amazon went public, in 1997 with that first shareholder letter, how Amazon kind of continues to take advantage of it. It can seemingly fail, and investors don't care. So, yeah, I mean, I think if you're asking, is there a lot to learn, I definitely think so. In terms of, do people read these books and then decide that, great management is sort of being a jerk? I mean, hopefully, my portrait of Jeff is a little more nuanced than that, right? I mean, he could be tough when he thought the company wasn't acting in the best interests of customers. I think maybe Steve was a little different, in terms of the archetype of just a jerk. But, I do think, unfortunately, that has inspired a whole generation of leaders, perhaps with an example like the former CEO of Uber, who felt like they could run roughshod over their own organizations, and then that ended up pretty badly because, not everyone can be Steve Jobs.
Yeah, I know, Grosser, you've taken that management approach.
Yes,
I
believe on abusing you on a regular basis, and Ben.
I often feel abused, and I go home and I curl up in a ball in the corner and I say I can't go back tomorrow. Any last questions for Brad Stone?
I guess just to end on this. I mean, do you think that an Amazon of the future could be created today? I guess Amazon was created back in the 1990s when the internet was a wide open terrain and sort of developed steadily over the last 20, 25 years. But is the next Amazon out out there?
That's a great question. And I think, like, you know, any humble tech CEO is going to go and say, of course it is. It's right around the corner. We have to be constantly watchful, and somebody's out there right now. But I don't know if I believe that anymore. I think that, you know, the big four tech companies, maybe the big five, are so powerful. They have so much cash. They're generally extremely well run. You know, they can go and they can, you know, until maybe the antitrust climate changes in this country and around the world, it's going to be very hard for anyone to take them by surprise. You know, Amazon watches their competitors extremely closely. Just a good example recently, the Blue Apron, which went public over the summer. And, you know, these little things that Amazon does, and who knows, maybe it's coincidental, but during Blue Apron's quiet period, you know, you had the acquisition of Whole Foods, you had news come out about Amazon meal kit program. And, you know, and I chronicle a number of these kinds of things in the book where they find very creative ways to undermine and eventually, you know, acquire or defeat competitors. And it's, you know, so it's such an aggressive company. It, you know, it has so many resources and all this leeway from its investors to go and compete and to acquire that it's hard for me to see what any potential endgame is for Amazon. I think, you know, we're looking at a company that will one day overtake Walmart in terms of revenues, and probably it's fairly unstoppable unless, you know, we have a big kind of change in the regulatory climate. So hard to imagine how Jeff Bezos' empire gets undone, other than maybe one day him, you know, moving off. You know, you have a change with a more professional CEO who might be bound by some of the, you know, traditional laws of gravity and of Wall Street.
Yeah. Brad Stone is Senior Executive Editor for Technology at Bloomberg News, and he is the author of The Everything Store, Jeff Bezos and the Age of Amazon. Brad, thanks for coming on this show. We really appreciated it.
Thanks, guys. I really enjoyed it.
And everyone, thank you for listening. As always, we appreciate your time. We will talk to you soon.